It's the Scotty Myers Show.
Hey, welcome to this week's edition of the show. I'm your host, Scotty Myers, and thank you for joining me on what will be another All Geek edition, because it's been a little while. We've had a little break, and we need to catch up. There's been a shit ton of geek news, so we will break it down. We will get into my thoughts on the Suicide Squad, also some casting news coming out of DC, some Star Wars news, and we'll start in the world of Marvel. Why the hell not? Because as I record this, they released a new TV show to Disney Plus, What If? It's an animated show, which basically asks the question, what if this happened in the Marvel Universe? So the first episode, a pretty basic premise, what if Steve Rogers, Captain America, did not receive the Super Soldier Serum, and instead Peggy Carter was the one that was given the serum? And basically the first episode, I mean, really the story doesn't change a whole lot from what happened when Captain America, when, you know, Steve Rogers got the serum, but it was very well done. Super enjoyable. I really like the animation style that they've chosen for What If. It's a cel-shaded look. Makes it feel a bit more lifelike, not quite so animated. And it's great that they got most of the original voice actors to come back and do their characters again. There are some very, very interesting episodes coming up. The one that I'm looking forward to the most is Marvel Zombies. That's been a very successful comic book. And, why not mix some superheroes with some zombies? So looking forward to that episode. And I think it's going to be super emotional, but there is an episode where T'Challa, Black Panther, doesn't become Black Panther. Instead, he becomes Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy. And that was the last work that Chadwick Boseman did for Marvel. So I have a feeling that that episode is going to be a bit more tough to get through, I think. Just thinking, you know, the fact that he's no longer with us and we're not going to get his Black Panther ever again. So those are just a few of the episodes. I think there's 10 in this first series. And rumor is they've already kind of approved a second season for Marvel What If. But if you like Marvel and you like kind of just throwing around ideas, this is a fun series to watch. And like I say, I really dug the first episode. They're gearing up for Guardians of the Galaxy 3, and James Gunn is teasing some major deaths in the upcoming episode, installment of the series. Basically, he's just kind of teasing that everybody is not going to make it out of Guardians 3 alive. And, you know, this is kind of a similar tease to what we did with the Suicide Squad, which we will get to later. His tease came through with the Suicide Squad. And my money is Drax. If you were asking me who I think won't make it out of Guardians 3, it's probably Drax. Dave Bautista has been pretty vocal lately about some of the decisions Marvel has made. He is one of the few voices that didn't return for Marvel What If, and somebody asked him on Twitter why he didn't, and he said, well, nobody asked me to. So there seems to be a little bit of a rift there between Marvel, Disney, and Dave Bautista. So if I had to put money right now on who doesn't make it out of Guardians of the Galaxy 3, it's going to be Bautista. And my money is he then just shows up in the DC film universe. He's been adamant about playing Bane, and James Gunn loves Dave. And as we'll talk about a little bit later on, Gunn definitely has more stuff to do with DC. So I could see that kind of being the path that they end up going down there. As if Marvel wasn't spoiled enough with all their casting choices, rumor has it that The Rock and Kevin Feige have tossed around a few ideas on how The Rock could be part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Nothing obviously hammered out in stone, as The Rock is just wrapping up Black Adam for DC and Warner Brothers, and he's pretty committed to that character. But we're getting to the point now with these superhero films that people are going to go back and forth. You know, people are going to star in one series and then go over and star in another. We're running out of actors, I think, in the long run. But I could see The Rock doing both. He would have been a great Namor. But, you know, rumor is they've already cast Namor. So I don't know right off the top of my head who he would be a great fit for in Marvel. But listen, The Rock is super bankable. He is, you know, ultra charismatic, guy stars in a movie, it does well, so it makes sense Marvel would want to have The Rock on board. You just got to find the right fit for The Rock. Now, production has begun on The Marvels, the sequel to Captain Marvel, and the lead-in series, Ms. Marvel, was supposed to come out in late 2021, but there's a new rumor floating around out there that its release has been pushed to early 2022. Now, that really won't affect anything. According to most reports, Ms. Marvel is done shooting or very close to done shooting, and they have just started work on The Marvels. So pushing it a few months and at the end of the day isn't going to affect anything, except we just have to wait a little bit longer to get Ms. Marvel on Disney Plus. So a little bit of a bummer there. Let's switch over to Star Wars. And rumor has it that Ahsoka, the series, will be adding the character Sabine, which makes total sense. Now, if you're not familiar with Star Wars Rebels, Sabine was part of the crew with Ezra Bridger, and it seems like the Ahsoka series, at least the first season, is going to focus heavily on finding Ezra Bridger. So some of these characters that were in Rebels that survived that show definitely could pop up in Ahsoka and would make total sense to pop up in the Ahsoka series. So looking forward to seeing Sabine in live action. No word yet on who they will be casting as the Mandalorian Sabine, but be nice to see. And there's going to be another Mandalorian roaming around out there. The Bad Batch, the animated series on the Special Forces Clone Troopers unit, has been renewed for season 2. No surprise there. Season 1 has been nothing short of spectacular, really top-notch Star Wars stuff, and I'm glad to see it getting a second season. Now, if you're like me, you've always wanted to visit a galaxy far, far away, and Galaxy's Edge at Disney World and Disneyland has been the closest we could come so far. But Disney has been working on this ultra-immersive experience known as Star Wars Galactic Cruiser. Well, we get some more information on the Galactic Cruiser that's opening in spring of 2022 at Walt Disney World Resort in Florida. Basically, you're going to get a two-day trip. That's the longest you can stay in the Galactic Cruiser, or as some people have called it, the Star Wars Hotel. For the two-day trip, you're going to get to experience what it's going to be like to be in a galaxy far, far away. Characters like Kylo Ren, Rey, Chewie, they're all going to appear while you're there, and you're going to interact with them because you're going to be part of a Star Wars story. You can do some lightsaber training. There's going to be dining experiences with a live show. I'm assuming the Cantina Band. and, you know, you're going to sleep in a cabin that looks like you would be sleeping in a, you know, Star Wars cruiser. Like, it's really cool. Now, here's where it gets a little dicey for the Galactic Cruiser. And I'm begging the fine folks at Disney, when it comes time to, you know, maybe let some press, some media, some podcasters experience this for themselves, please add me to this list, because there is no way in hell right now I can afford this. And even if I could, I don't know that my wife would let me. again, keep in mind, this is for two nights. If you go to the Galactic Star Cruiser website, it has given you some estimated figures for the two-night stay. There's three different combinations. So the estimated pricing for this goes as follows. Two guests per cabin, you're looking at $1,209 per guest per night. So that's two guests in the cabin. That makes a grand total for two people of $4,809. If you have three guests, one of them being a child, $889 per guest per night, or a total of $5,299. If you have four guests in there, you're looking at a grand total of $5,999. Again, keep in mind, 2 days. It's a sickeningly high amount of money. Now, according to everybody at Disney Imagineering and people that have worked on this project, this is next level immersion. So if you're an ultimate Star Wars fan, it's probably going to be this experience, like once in a lifetime type deal, that may be worth the money. But still, there's a lot of sticker shock to be had here. Now, if you're wondering what is included in that outside of the hotel, here's where the good news is. There is some extras in there. So your package includes entry into Disney's Hollywood Studios for one day two of your experience. And that is so that you can continue your story on Batuu. That admission ticket expires at midnight prior to the departure date. It's non-upgradable, non-transferable. Like, basically, you are stuck. You're going to Hollywood Studios that day. That's it. Your package also includes two breakfasts, two lunches, two dinners per guest, gratuity included. You also get one quick service meal consisting of one entree and either one non-alcoholic beverage, or if 21 or over, an alcoholic beverage. So basically your meals are covered for those 2 days as well as a little bit of extra, like quick service snack type thing. So it adds to the value, I will definitely say that, but man, oh man, still, even if it's two people, just shy of $5,000 is a lot of money for a two-day experience. And when you think about it, odds are you are not just going to Disney for 2 days, right? So you're going to spend the, again, let's just say $5,000-$6,000 on the two-day experience. Then you're going to change hotels, and then you're going to book yourself in somewhere else. Odds are you're going to want to go to the other parks, like Magic Kingdom and stuff like that. So you're going to be tacking on another couple of grand at least on that trip. So, you know, you're looking at $10,000 for a trip. It's a shit ton of money. I really want to be able to do it, but I just, again, unless the fine folks at Disney want me to be part of the review process for Galactic Cruiser, which I am volunteering right now to do, I just don't see me getting to do this, which is very disappointing. On to the world of DC, and we will get into the Suicide Squad film in just a second. First, we'll start with Wonder Woman. She's rumored to be joining Superman, Deathstroke, Batman, Harley Quinn in the game of Fortnite. It's a great way. Like, my nephew is addicted to this game, and this is how you introduce characters now. If you want a kid to know about a character, make them a skin in Fortnite. That's really all you need to do. Switching over to comic book news for DC, we usually don't cover the comics too much because there's so much happening in the world of comic books, but this story has gotten a lot of traction with a lot of people kind of just touching on the headline of it and not breaking it down. So there's been a lot of news recently about Robin coming out as bisexual. It happened in an issue, Batman Urban Legend number 6. The Robin in question is not Dick Grayson, which a lot of people, you know, he's the best known Robin. It's Tim Drake, the third Robin. He came out as bisexual, and some people have had a backlash on this, saying that, you know, the character wasn't before. We didn't know the character. We knew definitely that he had interest in women, but we didn't, you know anything else about that. So I think it's an interesting way for DC to create a character that already has a history and just expand on that history. And I like the move. I think it's been well done. DC has handled it very well in the press, and it's just another part of Tim's journey of self-discovery, which is going to continue in the comics. So, I'm interested to see where this takes the character. Back to DC TV, Doom Patrol dropped a season 3 teaser, and that teaser also gave us the release date. So season 3 is going to pick up right where season 2 left off, which was a pretty devastating season finale, and we will be able to continue our journey with these oddball superheroes on HBO Max on September 23rd. Now, the problem with this being on HBO Max is if you're like me and you're in Canada, you're kind of screwed. You got to wait longer. Like, Titans debuted, and now I'm still waiting because I'm stuck in Canada and I can't see Titans. So a little disappointed about that. HBO Max, get your ass to Canada, please. Zolo Madruna has been cast as Blue Beetle in the upcoming HBO Max movie, which I still think should go to theaters. I think Blue Beetle has a lot of potential. to be a really well-known character once people get to know him. But yeah, right now it's going to HBO Max. And Zolo, you might know him best for his working in Cobra Kai. Good casting. He's got some action background thanks to Cobra Kai. So I think it's a natural fit there. Now, before we break down The Suicide Squad, the director, James Gunn, has already been confirmed to be returning to the DC Cinematic Universe in some way, shape, or form. We don't know exactly what he's going to do yet. He's headed off right now to do Guardians 3. And after that, apparently he's coming back to Warner Brothers. And they're probably going to do the same thing they did to him this last time when they got James Gunn in the fold. Was basically like, what do you want to do? What's interesting to you right now? He has teased that he loves the idea of a Justice League versus the Suicide Squad movie. I don't know that Warner Brothers and DC are there yet. When you think about the uncertainty surrounding who's going to be Batman in the Justice League, you know, would it be Ben Affleck? Would it be Michael Keaton? Who's going to be Superman? There's a lot of uncertainty there, and I know we're still a few years away from that type of movie, but still, I don't know that that would be the next one. He may jump back into the world of the Suicide Squad, or maybe he tackles different characters altogether. You know, there's a ton of great characters in the DC universe that I'd love to see James Gunn put his spin on. Booster Gold would be a great fit for James Gunn. But exciting times that he's going to be returning to DC, especially because the movie that he just released is so damn badass. Let's break down The Suicide Squad, shall we? I've been sitting on this. This movie has been gestating with me forever since I've seen it, because I can't really stop thinking about it. There are moments almost every day since I've seen The Suicide Squad that I think about at least a scene or a sequence or something from the movie. Because I will tell you, the movie is damn near perfect. It has everything. If you want a little bit of gore, you're going to get it. If you want good action, you're going to get that. You want a little bit of horror, you're going to get that. You want comedy, that's in there too. It's you want something that's going to tug at your heartstrings. There's a couple of scenes that will make that happen as well. Like I freely admit, there is a scene, it's towards the end of the film, that I was teared up. I'm not going to lie. I was sitting there with a watery, salty discharge coming out of my eyes, all because of the fantastic writing that was done on this film. Because going into the Suicide Squad, it was a little different than the previous iteration of the team. That first team that we got to see, I was connected to some of those characters from the comic book. Harley, obviously, you know, I love Harley Quinn. Deadshot from the first film has always been one of my favorite characters. I love Deadshot, especially in Suicide Squad, but I've read his books and miniseries and everything else. So there were characters in the first movie that I was already super attached to. In this flick, it was pretty much Harley. That was it. I really wasn't attached to anybody else. Didn't, you know, new blood sports history from the comics. Yeah, okay, cool kind of character. You know, Ratcatcher 2, sure, whatever. Polka Dot Man, I knew was a joke. King Shark, I knew a little bit from some Suicide Squad work and stuff like that. But again, you know, not super attached to any of these guys. Peacemaker, whatever. The beauty of this film is you get attached to these characters very, very quickly. You know, everybody that they throw on screen has a moment and has time to shine. And even though the movie doesn't run super long, but every character is still given a chance to breathe a little bit. And it is shot very differently than I anticipated it being. And pretty much from the jump, you learn that when they were saying don't get too attached, you don't get too attached. It opens in a way where the stakes are high. And I think that's something that carries you throughout this film that is very different than most superhero films that you watch. Because when you think about it, most of the superhero films that you watch, you're along for the ride, but you kind of know the ending before the opening credits, right? You know, okay, Spider-Man, Batman, whoever, they're going to win. They're going to beat whoever the nemesis is, and that's it. And it's a pretty paint-by-number story, but it's still fun to go along for the ride. Especially the way this film opens, you quickly learn this is not a very paint-by-number movie. And so when you get to that climactic battle at the end against a very interesting villain choice in Starro the Conqueror, it's the stakes are high. You don't know who is going to come out of this movie alive, and you've become very attached to the characters that are still on screen and left in the Suicide Squad. And so you're kind of on the edge of your seat because you don't want to see any more of these characters perish. And so it really ups the ante for that final battle, as it were. And the final battle is shot beautifully. It's just very, very well done cinema at the end of the day. Now, if I was the comic book nerd and me was to nitpick at all, it's that Starro seems to be a bit of an afterthought. And, you know, I have Justice League comics where the entire Justice League had a hard time bringing down Starro, yet the Suicide Squad manages to do it. I don't want to say easily, but, you know, based on the comic battles, this Starro is not as powerful as the Starro from comic books. But I will say, even in the midst of this crazy battle, he gives Starro a moment of kind of heart. Oh, like, you feel bad for this giant conquering space starfish. It's probably the oddest sentence I've ever said, but still, yeah. And just, again, the heart, the little beats that make you connected to every character, what sets this movie apart, and the performances help those moments. Idris Elba's fantastic as Bloodsport. John Cena is the perfect douche as Peacemaker. This is Margot Robbie's best version of Harley Quinn. And what I liked about it was, even though this wasn't a sequel to the first Suicide Squad, the story does continue. And if you've been with Harley from her introduction in Suicide Squad through Birds of Prey, through the Suicide Squad, you see the journey that this character's been going on and how Margot Robbie has evolved her portrayal of Harley to a really, really great level. Ratcatcher 2, standout performance there. Amazing. Everybody is top notch in this. James Gunn managed to get the best out of everybody, whether they were on screen for the entire film or for 5 minutes. I don't think there's anybody that Gunn didn't motivate properly in this movie. Again, if I was going to nitpick on it, it's R-rated for a reason. I enjoyed the R rating, but damn, DC, you got to make something for kids. Just because they're kind of the future of your company. It's the one thing Marvel is doing almost sickeningly to a fault, is that 99% of the stuff they put out is, you know, enjoyed by adults, but kid-friendly. Whereas so far, DC, I would say it's almost the opposite. 99% of their stuff that's been put out is not kid-friendly. And, you know, I'm not saying I want DC to make Marvel movies. It's just, I just want to see DC. Like, I've obviously, if you listen to this podcast, you know I have a really, really soft spot for DC Comics. They were kind of there for me as I was growing up, and I'd like to see them reach greater heights, and, you know, making films, no matter how great they are, but for a limited audience, kind of holds them back a little bit. But that's just me nitpicking, because at the end of the day, the Suicide Squad is a damn near perfect movie. And kudos to James Gunn and everyone involved. Like, this is a movie that I could sit down and watch back to back in the theater if I could. Like, I would just sit there, big thing of popcorn on my face, big dumb smile on my face, and just enjoy the hell out of this film. So if you have not seen The Suicide Squad yet, do yourself a favor and go to the theater and see it. And go to the theater and see it if you can. If the theaters are open in your area, it is a spectacle on the big screen. So that is the best way to see it. So that will do it for this week's edition of the show. We are going to move this thing to recording on the weekend, so start looking for it to pop up in your podcast feeds on Saturdays or Sundays. Haven't quite picked the day yet, but it's going to make life a little easier with my new job to record on the weekends. So keep an eye out for that, and keep following us on social media. That'll give you all the latest updates. If you're not following us yet, it's The Scotty Mars Show on Facebook and Instagram, or just at Scotty Myers on Twitter. And until we chat again, have a great week.